to understand the meaning and the devastating effect of temptation has in every human life, we need to understand that it's important for us to understand. Why? Because it becomes an enormous blessing when we do know what temptation is all about. Not only for ourselves, for our church, and for those that we have to relate to through as we go through life. In the Bible, the word temptation have a meaning of a trial. And it says here, human have a free choice and has to be, you know, we have to decide to be faithful or unfaithful to God. It's a choice that we make. And also, temptation indicates solicitation or seduction. Or sometimes we don't understand that temptation can come in a form of affliction, just like we discussed last 2 weeks about Job. In Job, you notice that many people don't realize that all the affliction that Satan put in Job was not about Job at all. And I didn't mention this last 2 weeks, so I'm going to mention today. So you remember, this is my conclusion about the book of Job. Who is the person, the center actor in the book of Job? Everyone will say, Job, it is God. The whole thing is about God. So when you face temptation, it's not really about you. It is about the one who creates you and the one who saves you. It is about God. So when temptation comes to you, remember, that is God's business. He will take care of it. All you have to do is to choose to let him take over. What is temptation? The Greek noun, peirasmos, means, it's almost exclusively a biblical, it says trial, test, affliction. So when you read the Bible, and depending on the version you read, in one version says, and God did tempt Abraham, Genesis 22. We know God tempts no one. So the word correct there is tempting, it doesn't fit in. But some versions have put that. Some other version says, and God did test Abraham. It's the same thing. God does not test anybody. God does not tempt anybody. Oh, what about affliction? So God did afflict Abraham. Believe me, any of you who feel very afflicted, if God comes and says, offer and sacrifice your child. That is affliction. But the whole thing is when we understand the word temptation, it means it's an evil act. That's why James says clearly, no one when he's tempted, say, I'm tempted by God. God tempts no one. And also it says temptation to do evil. Now, who tempted Eve? Some of you may say the serpent. No, the serpent was just a puppet. It was somebody playing Walt Disney behind the scene, you know, the animated. It was using the serpent as deception. But it was the devil himself who was talking to Eve. So when the woman, at this time, she was not Eve yet. At this time, her name was still Adam. Because that she became Eve afterwards, okay? So when the woman saw the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desirable to make one wise. I wonder how many of us have the same feeling when we go to a buffet. Or when we go shopping. So don't be too critical on your great mother. Because sometimes we are just like her. And she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he also ate. Now, this is a problem. The taking a bite when we should not. Temptation, it says, was so good. It was so pleasant. It was desirable. it was death. Have you noticed that eat is always part of death? A lot of people don't understand, but they always take a bite of the wrong thing. Sometimes they bite too much. And they are causing their own death. And do you know why death starts with a D? Because if eat follows D, D is destruction. And what H stands for? Humans. So humans always have a problem with the eat right there between. So be careful when you take bites, okay? Here is a problem. I'm going to be picking on the ladies earlier for a little bit. You go shopping and you look to that thing that some people call dress. The correct word is undress. Okay, so they look, and some people purchase and they walk around with those things. Not only they are tempted, but they become a temptation to others. So they become a victim of temptation, and then they become a helper. And some of you may think that I'm going to apologize for being so right on the money. No, I would not. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it is not of the Father, but is of the world. Take your eyes from what is ready to destroy you. Don't participate with the enemy when the enemy tries to destroy you. Ladies, what you, God has given you, the curves that you have, it is for you to protect, not for you to advertise. I've been very direct because we have young ladies here, we have young people here, and the old ones too, you have all to hear this, okay? So please keep some of those things for yourself. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes is lust, and the pride of life. They are just faces of temptation. So please be careful where you put your eyes. Sometimes I feel very sad, and I'm going to say this, and don't take me wrong, but if you do, God forgive you, and God forgive me too. Sometimes we claim to keep the Sabbath, and yet there are little things that don't let us keep the Sabbath. Sometimes we come to church, and we are not in church because somebody else is with us. So please be careful, because the enemy has many ways to tempt you. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Be careful with those bleeping that keeps always controlling everything you do. Now, what about money? Anybody here likes money? Let's see how many honest people we have here. Now we see the hand. Of course, what is the problem with money? Now, you know, and I have said this before, money is nothing else but time converted into currency. We all need time. We all are striving for time. We want more time. We want eternal life because we don't want a time to stop. So there's nothing wrong when you look at money and know that money is just time. But when money becomes the boss, money starts controlling you instead of you controlling the money, then that's the problem. It says, those who love money. By the way, that's not possible, okay? This is just a translation. It's not possible for you to love money. You cannot love objects. Love is a word that the Bible defines as God himself. So for you to love, you have to love somebody who can love you back, something that can love you back. So it's not possible for you to love. So here in itself is already wrong. Nobody can love money, but somebody can be controlled by money. Those who are controlled by money will never have enough. Do you see the meaning now? Anybody who is controlled by money will never have enough. How meaningless to think that wealth or money brings us true happiness. I don't know if you ever read in the news, but sometimes we hear these individuals that have billions and billions and billions of dollars. And yet, we find out their life is miserable. They drink lemon juice every day for breakfast. And every time they are in front of the camera, we can tell that their life is very, very bitter. All that money, they have yachts that is so, a fortune. They have servants for everything else, and yet they are empty. Why? Because money can help you to have a comfortable life, but cannot be giving you a comfortable life itself. You need to have the courage to go with that. The love of money, again, causes all kinds of trouble. Some people want money so much, they have even given up their faith. How many times I gave Bible studies to people, sometimes for 6 months, sometimes for a year, or even more longer than that. And there was one family that I can mention their names because they are no longer, they are resting now, so I can mention the Mendozas. My wife knows what I'm talking about. These people, they have a lot of money. So they asked me to give them Bible studies. I started going to their homes. 3 years, gave them Bible studies. And I didn't believe that they were ready to be baptized. But we had evangelists that came. And the evangelists, they want results. So they will baptize, forgive me, this is going to be a bad joke, but I'm going to say anyway, they will baptize, even if your dog comes running, they baptize, they want so badly baptized, they will baptize anything that moves. Yes, there are people like that, and sadly by they are. And so this pastor said, no, pastor. I said, look, they are not ready. No, they are. How long have you been studying with them? For 3 years? Oh, that's more than enough. So they were baptized. And I remember this individual. He gave $100 to the church. It was the first donation he gave to the church, $100. 2 weeks later, he called and says, I want my $100 back. Legally, we don't have obligation to give back. But I told the treasurer, give it back because I know what that means. And he never came back to the church. He won the $100 and he went back. His wife decided to have a surgery for vanity and she died on the table. She paid the price for her own vanity. And he is also is died. And all for what? Some people want money so much they have given up their faith. You find this even in the Bible. Ananias, Sapphira, they lost their eternal life. What? Just because some few dollars. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, this, although not having the law, are a law for themselves. We read this in Romans chapter 2, verse 14, 15. Verse 15 says this, who showed the work of the law when it was written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them. Why I'm sharing this verse? Because no one, not a human being, has an excuse that they do not know. Because we are born with a law written in our hearts. Every single person has a notion of a right and wrong. And when we give in to what is wrong, it's because we don't have a principles. Now, do you know who those two boys are? One is Abel, another one is the Cain. Cain. And I spell C-A-N-E. Yeah, the Cain. Yes. One is able, the other one was disabled. This is the two brothers. And you know how the temptation came. What excuse had Cain? He had everything. But you know what? His mother and his father told him, you are born to be the Messiah. You are born to save civilization. And that entered his heart and built pride. It came to a point that he realized that he was better than everybody else. Even when God talked to him, he would say to God, I'll do my way. Have you noticed how very opinionated people are these days? Wow, we have a lot of Cains around. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sin actions or sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to, there goes the eating again, death. So James says this, desires. Sometimes people always blame even the Satan who says, oh, Satan made me do it. Probably Satan was not even aware what you're doing. You did all this by yourself. In my hometown in Brazil, the simple people, the more people less educated, but they have sometimes beautiful wisdom. They said this, some people, I'm going to say in Portuguese first, then I'll translate. Há pessoas que jogam com o diabo com a vara curta. Meaning, you play with the lion with a short stick. And you know what happened, right? Eat. But that's the lion. The lion will grab you. So sometimes people play games with their own salvation. How to overcome temptation? Would you all say amen to that? Amen. That the Lord gives us the instructions how to? So let's look into the best teacher that we can ever have. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, what happened? No, not yet. He was hungry. I know. And some of you probably are hungry too. It says, after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Guess what is coming? The eating thing again. Remember death, eat? Here it comes again. Temptation. For some reason, the eat is always part of it. Now, what was? Satan knew where Jesus was. Jesus was there preparing for the ministry. And by the way, when you go to any project, pray before. Because if you don't, Satan will be part of it. So pray when you have any project. Because if you don't pray, the opportunity ahead is red. And when it's red, it's called the Satan. Says, here is my opportunity. But instead, you should have the sign this way. If you don't pray, the sign is this way. If you pray, the sign may turn this way. So I just want to make a visual point for you to see. Pray so that God will have a green opportunity in your life. So Jesus was there in the desert, and he was hungry. Satan showed up. The tempter came to him and said to him, if, would you say with me, if, oh, if, how many ifs, how many people have destroyed their entire life because if, and if stands for I fell. Yes, the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, have you ever tried or have anybody questioned your faith in God? Have everybody sometimes tried to push you to a point that says you have to prove that you are a Christian? Be careful. Tell these stones to become bread. Again, the same approach. 4,000 years later, he talked to Eve, the same approach. Now he comes to Jesus with the same approach. To eat is the issue, right? Jesus answered, I have eaten. I have eaten from the bread of life. And that's why he was able to say, it is written, man or humans shall not live by bread alone. Oh, how many people could have a much improved life if they would only think about this sentence. Amen. Man should not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And Jesus was quoted Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. That's what he was saying. Now, continue. So Satan said, oh, you're religious, right? Let me take you to church. Sometimes people believe that when they are in a spiritual environment, that Satan will leave them completely alone. Satan goes to church too. In this case, he took Jesus to the top of the temple and says, let's get religious. So then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. Brothers and sisters, sometimes people not only want to be part of the church, but they want to higher position in the church. They want influence. They want control. When you go to the holy city, when you go to the temple, it's not to seek the high place, but to be with the highest of the Lords, is with Jesus Christ, your Lord. Okay, so please, be careful with Satan. And then Satan said this, if you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down. What it means, throw yourself down? No. Jump is just the action. The purpose is try to kill yourself. Try to show that your life is worth nothing. Now, one individual, he was a speaker, a preacher, and he was late to go to church. So this, by the way, this is just this not a true story, okay? It's just an illustration. So he was driving to church very fast because he was late. And the speed limit, he was way over the speed limit. So he always remember his wife telling him, honey, don't drive this fast because you're going to end up killing somebody. You're going to get yourself involved in an accident. Or the minimum, you're going to get yourself a ticket. And how embarrassing. You are a pastor. You're not supposed to do those things. He said, okay, honey, okay, next time. But always speeding. And he was speeding. And then he think that he heard a voice saying, slow down. He could swear that his wife was in the back seat. So he looked. Oh, what has happened to me? And he continued. And then he hear the voice, slow down. What in the world is going on? Oh, this is my imagination. I need rest a little bit more. And he continued. Suddenly, he sees the door open of the car. And he's speeding the car, the door open. And then it closes. And then he looked into the mirror, and he saw his guardian angel out of the car. That's just an illustration. Sometimes people want to be defiant, wants to play games with their own lives and with lives of others too. That is suicide. That is killing yourself. Throw yourself down. This is what he says. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written. Now the devil is using the Bible. So brothers and sisters, just because you see somebody preaching on television very beautifully, very powerfully, and just because somebody is to have the Bible in their hands, that doesn't mean a thing because the devil have the Bible in his hand too. read Matthew chapter 7, 21, 22, and 23. You know what that means. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Do you want to know why I underline and I put a color, a different color for a stone? Because that stone there is the devil. A stone that is there to try to be a block between you and God. And then he used this promise. He was quoting Psalms 91, verse 11 and 12. But with the wrong purpose. You can sometimes read a Bible verse and twist the meaning of it. Jesus answered to him and says, it is also written. By the way, this is Jesus fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. His mind was still clear. Why? Because he, whatever is inside, it was there. Some people sometimes want to remember things that they never put in their minds. It doesn't work that way. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. You cannot tempt God. It doesn't matter what you do, you cannot tempt God. It says, do not put God to the test. Then you think the devil says, okay, nothing is going to work with this. No, he will continue. But now each time he's more daring. Again, the devil took him now to the very high mountain and showed him, you know, he took him high to the temple, now even higher to the mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. He says this, all this I will give to you. He said, I will give to you. Why would he say, I will give to you? Because he assumed that he is the one who owns everything. Remember when the people that are saying, oh, you can take this. Is this yours? No, it's not mine, but nobody ever, you can take it. There are people who sometimes take ownership of things that doesn't belong to them. And Satan did that. Here comes again the third if. If you will bow down and worship me. That is the whole purpose of temptation. And then he says this, Jesus said to him, enough. Away from me, Satan. For it is written, worship who? The Lord your God, and serve him only. Anytime you serve anything else, you are being falling to temptation. And again, all this is about God. It's not about us. When we surrender our choices to God, we defeat the tempter. And by defeating the tempter, we exalt the God that we serve. It says, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Now, why would Jesus wait until this point to say to him, away from me, Satan? Because all the other things, it sounds almost biblical. He quoted the scriptures and everything else. But this time, he's asked something that the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is very clear. Only God can be worshipped. You cannot worship money. You cannot worship a relative, no matter how good looking your relative is. You cannot worship anything. And by the way, we do use as a church members, and because sometimes of versions of the Bible that we use, the Bible mentions the word gods. So how many gods are there? So why we are saying gods then, if there is only one? Is there something wrong with our grammar if we say there is one God, and how come we say gods? So the correct translation is idols. There is only one God. So when you read your Bible and the Bible says gods, put a little mark to it and just write idols. Because idols are idols. But God, there is only one. Satan sometimes makes those things come into our brain to the point that we become desensitized. Then we started to talk about Molech, the god Molech. Molech was not a god. Molech was a very despicable idol that Satan has created in order to sacrifice children. Okay? Continue, Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God, and serve him alone." Only, not alone, only. Faith in the word. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Some people were tempted not to come to church today. And they are not here. By the way, I'm not thinking about anybody, okay? Don't worry about it. But I know that that's the fact. Sometimes a few discouraged. Sometimes you're ready, you are dressed and everything else, and here comes a phone call, a relative that you haven't heard for, "I'm come, can you pick me up in the airport?" And then you put God in second place. And if somebody calls me at home and I'm coming to church, not because I'm a pastor, even if I don't have to preach, somebody calls and I'm here in the airport and says, "Oh, wait until sunset, I'll pick you up. Enjoy the airport." And you say, "But pastor, that's cruel." That is a test. When you don't stand your grounds, the devil plays games with you. Or either you play or you pay. That's not a game that you want to play. So that Satan will not outsmart us, for we are familiar with his evil schemes. Okay? 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11, New Living Translation. Never give up praying. Can you say this with me, please? Never give up praying. And when you pray, keep alert and be thankful. Pray, pray, pray. Because when you pray, you are connected with God. When you're connected with God, you cannot hear anything else but only God. All right? Now watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. So temptation is lack of prayer. People that pray are less tempted. People that do not pray, they are tempted all the time. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, God bless those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive what? A beautiful crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. If you love him, some good, if you want to be a very good with all that crown in your head, just love God and he will give you that gift, eternal life. Now, what do you see here? Somebody so attracted to the world that they couldn't let it go. And I put some of those little hearts there to make sure that you do understand what that means. They love the world so much they cannot let it go. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If you love the world or the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in you. 1 John 2, verse 15. Don't love the world, brothers and sisters, because this world is reserved for what? For a great barbecue. And you don't want to be part of it. You don't want to be part of it. So don't go there. Now, we have used this Bible verse a few times, and I'd like to repeat because it's so powerful. It is one of the best verses in the Bible about temptation. God is faithful. He is what? God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Let me put this in a Elson version, okay? This is the Elson version. God is always there. He's watching. He cannot stop temptation from coming to your way, but he is confident on you. Why? Because he is the one who has provided you the means to defeat the tempter. So God knows your capabilities. So to be fair, he will not allow the Satan to go beyond what you can do. So you have no excuse. And so God will provide you. That's a promise. And if there's somebody that we can trust that promise and keep his promise, is the Lord. He says, he will provide you a way out so that you can endure it. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. Yes, his promises. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. He will provide also a way out for you. Have this in mind, brothers and sisters. Every single time the temptation comes, look hard and you see his hand tell you, my child, this way and you'll be free. God tempts no one. This is the verse that I enjoyed using a lot because it's very revealing. No one who is tested should say, God is tempting me. This is because God is not tempted by any form of evil, nor does he tempt anyone. That includes you. God tempts no one. No temptation has seized you that isn't common to people. But God is faithful. He will not, here's the verse again, you will not be tempted beyond your abilities. Instead, with a temptation, God will provide you a way out. Now, God bless those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterwards, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to everyone. Very clear, right? Amen. Here is a question. And in conclusion, Psalms 119, verse 9. I was having this for you young people. At least I want once you to look at the screen. Now, that cup over there is supposed to be clean water. How can young people stay pure? There are so many options, so many temptations out there. How can you? So Psalms 119, verse 9 says this in New Living Translation. How can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. That's the only way you can be completely pure. Brothers and sisters, I don't know if you by now know a little bit more about temptation. One thing for sure, temptation is coming your way. But so is the one who is the deliverer. Who you walk with will determine if temptation will succeed or will be defeated. So what is the text says again? If we submit to God, then we'll have the power to resist temptation. Anybody here likes to win? Oh, I should ask, just to tease you, is anybody here likes to lose? Your life is the most precious thing that you have. Don't play games with it, please. Don't let temptation as instrument take you away from the hands of God. Those same hands that have a scar, the price that was paid for you, don't give up. Stand firm. Young people, when you go to Daniel chapter 2, read about young people that he stands for truth. Make a commitment. In the days of your youth, whatever discipline that you have right now will make your life much better. Discipline is very important. And one last thing, I say this to all the parents that are still here. If you don't teach discipline for your children, they will be an easier target to temptations. the less discipline that you have, the less values that you have, the easy target you are to temptation. People who have principles, they have less headaches. So please, read the word. I'd like to make a challenge to all the young people here, and you know, everyone. Why don't you take a Bible and says, I will read from Genesis to Revelation. Why don't you? What is stopping you from? Oh, temptation. Take the Bible, read. Read from the beginning to the end. And believe me, that will change your life. Amen. God bless you. And I hope you stay away from temptation. Amen. Stay pure. Let's sing together, I Would Be Like Jesus.